Happy Easter. Happy Easter, Joe. Happy Easter to the rest of you as well. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Last week we gathered together and it was Palm Sunday. And now the rest of the story, right? This is a good day. We said last week that a lot can change in a week's time. We looked at the Sunday where Jesus rides in on a donkey and people are amazed at who he is, the things that he's done, and everything that everybody was saying about him. In fact, the scripture told us last week that the town was stirred up, right? It was worked into a frenzy, that even people that weren't there were encountering people, and the ones who saw it said, "You'll not believe what happened. This man came in. We believe he's the Messiah. He came in. He was riding on a donkey, and we were laying cloaks on the ground for him to ride on. And then when the cloaks ran out, we began to go to the trees, and we cut limbs off, and we laid those down. And people were saying, 'Hosanna, save us. Save us now. You are the one. You are the Messiah.'" But we talked about that it wasn't necessarily the Savior that they wanted. It was a Savior they needed, right? That he wasn't about saving them from the way they thought about. They were wanting one that would conquer the Roman rule. And Jesus came not with an iron fist and a scepter in hand sitting on a throne. No, he came with a basin and a towel to serve and to wash feet. And so we see that last week is this Hosanna, and the chance to Hosanna turned very quickly to crucify. Jesus was the Savior they needed, but not the Savior they wanted. And so then we have Good Friday, right? We have a wrongful imprisonment. In fact, I want to tell you, this is not a wrongful imprisonment like you see on a movie like Shawshank Redemption, if you've ever seen that, right? Anybody that's ever been to Shawshank, they didn't do it. I've been in prisons and I've talked with people and they say they were framed and they didn't need to be there. But this is a genuine wrongful imprisonment, right? Someone who had never done anything wrong, and here he is imprisoned in shackles, in chains, tied up, standing before people who were going to give a false trial. And he said not a word in his defense. He was beaten, he was mocked, and he was crucified. You see, we call that Good Friday, and if we left it there, Good Friday is not really all of that good, except the fact that today was coming, right? That this was merely only a borrowed tomb, and that Jesus would raise for the dead. And what man planned for bad, God used to redeem all of mankind, not just the crowd that was there that day, but you and I, right? Amen? That Jesus offered redemption, this buying back. This favorite verse on this of mine is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, listen to me again, for whose sake? Our sake, right? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This great exchange where we are able to come to Jesus and lay down our sin and pick up his righteousness. But in order to do that, he had to humble himself and lay down his righteousness and pick up our sin. There was a debt that we could not pay, and he paid it on that Good Friday. But that is not the glorious end of the story that we celebrate today. Amen? You see, someone said he is alive. He is risen. He has risen indeed. That is not the end. Good Friday is good because of all that we celebrate today. He is alive. And if this morning you don't understand what the power of that means, you don't understand everything that the resurrection means, everything that we believe hinges on this glorious promise. The fact that Jesus is not in a tomb this morning. He is alive. In fact, the Bible tells us that he's seated at the right hand of the Father and actually being one that would be there for you and talk to the Father on your behalf. This morning we will read about the resurrection, but I don't want it to stop there because, see, honestly, when we're faced with this truth that Jesus lived a perfect life and he died this death on the cross, this humiliating death, Philippians 2 tells us that he humbled himself to the point of death. Yes, death even on a cross, right? The world's worst way to die, hanging there naked, beaten, mocked, and ashamed. In fact, Scripture tells us, anybody ever seen The Passion of the Christ? Anybody ever seen that? It does a pretty good job portraying this, but the fact is, at the end of that, we can look and we can still see an actor portraying Jesus. Scripture says that he was beaten and bruised so badly that he didn't even have the appearance of a man. It's basically a piece of flesh hanging there and taking all of this for you and for I. It's an amazing story of redemption. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, and he did so for you and for me. That's not the end of the story. But we must do something with this Jesus. What at the end of this story, at the end of it all, where you've heard it, you understand what it is. You understand that Jesus lived this life, that he died that death, and he arose from the grave. What do you do with this Jesus? Really, that's all that matters in this life. That is what everything, the rest of your life hinges on, is what do you do with this person, Jesus? I want to see a show of hands this morning. I guarantee you've never been asked this question on an Easter Sunday. I promise you. You ready? How about that taco salad? Everybody like that? That's good stuff, right? That's not an Easter meal to me, but that was requested, and so we granted that, man. Taco salad for everybody. We approved that message, right? But I want to tell you, there's more going on out here than taco salad. Taco salad is great, but if that's the end of the story, that's a bad story. Especially depending on how many beans you eat. It could be a real bad story, right? That's a poop joke on Easter Sunday morning. Lord, forgive me, all right? But that's a horrible story if it ends right there. I mean, that's an okay story that we gather together, we eat, we fellowship. But there's something much more important. You see, you may not know this, but I know the people that we're serving this morning. And with every scoop, they might be thinking, yeah, I need to give them this much taco meat, this much beans and all this. But I want you to know it's the love of Christ that they're hoping you encounter today and every day that we gather together. That's why this stuff happens. That's why we gather together, because there is so much more. And you have to come to the realization at the point of, what do I do with this Jesus that they're talking to me about every week? There must be something about that name, because every time we gather, no matter if we're in the Psalms, no matter if we're in the Old Testament, no matter if we're in the New Testament, somehow the name of Jesus gets mentioned out here every week. You see, that's because everything hinges on this name. I feel led to say this. I wasn't planning on it. Didn't know it when I got here. Today has been a heavy day. Some of you have come and told me about tragedy. Some of you have told me about sickness. Some of you have told me about things that are going on. And I just want you to know that here's what I believe about that name. That everything hinges on that name. And Scripture says that His name is the name above all names. And I think that even means more than any person's name. I think that means over the name of depression. I think it means over the name of a sickness. I think that is a name above your loss right now that you're going through. That is the name that is above all names. See, everything hinges on that name, Jesus. If I've ever told you anything from a heart of love, listen to me and hear my voice and let you know that Jesus is bigger than whatever you are facing. That name is the name above all names, and everything hinges on this story. See, it's more than just an empty tomb this morning. This is life that is offered, and not just life here, not just a so-so. John 10 tells us that it's a life that is more abundant. So it's about here. But it's also about a life that's eternal, when He makes all things new, that we have forever a relationship with Him. And it all hinges on the fact that a man lived a perfect, sinless life, died on a cross in your place. And then, as Luke chapter 24 and verse 1 through verse 12 says, "But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" Amen. "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise." I want to tell you, the disciples were slow learners. I can go back and count about 5, 6, 7 times that Jesus plainly tells the disciples, get this, this is how he tells them. So check this. "I'm going to be handed over to the hands of sinful men. I'm going to die. And then 3 days later, I'm going to raise." And then it says they went to the tomb and they were perplexed. Right? Slow learners. You and I can be slow learners as well, right? But that's what it says, that Jesus, remember, they're reminding him, Jesus told you this. And it says, and they remembered his words. Oh yeah, he did tell us that. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Maybe I don't know if this is from God or if this is from the flesh, but maybe there's something about it. If you really want to spread the news, you get a group of ladies around and you just tell them, hey, go and tell people. Ladies, y'all can help me with that later, right? So there's a bunch of women. I got an O me and an O ooh on ooh and ahs on that. But these words seemed to them all an idle tale. Listen to this. The ones that follow Jesus the closest, when they hear this, when the 11 are there and the ladies come and say, you won't believe this. We were there and the stone was rolled away and there were two men in these dazzling clothes, right? These angels. And they told us, why are you here seeking living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is not dead. He is alive. And the followers said this. Seems like an idle tale to us. I mean, that seems really far-fetched. You see, they had to be faced with the question too, what do we do with this Jesus? What do we do with this story? Seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But listen to Peter. Remember Peter, he's got skin in the game at this point, right? Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Said he cursed and ran away. I don't know this man. Never seen him, never heard of him, never been with him. It says, but when Peter hears about it, he arises and ran to the tomb. Not walk, he ran. Stooping in and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And when he went home, marveling at what had happened. Now, I want to ask you the question. This is a story that you've heard before. And I'll just be completely transparent with you this morning. This is a hard tale to believe. I want to tell you, it really is. It's hard to believe that, first off, Jesus, this humble man, was born of a virgin. We know how that works, right? If you don't, you can ask Jesse about that later. He'll tell you how all of that works. But, right, he was born of a virgin. That's amazing in itself, right? That's an amazing start, in that he was born in a manger and he lived a perfect life and that he died on a cross for you and for me. And then you mean to tell me 3 days later he's going to raise from the dead? I want to tell you, it takes faith. I understand that. But I want you to know this morning, and I can testify by the power that's in my own life, by the testimony that God has changed me, by the way that he brought a dead man to life right here in front of you, that this is the truth. And see, much like the disciples, when someone comes and tell you this story, in fact, this might be the 67th Easter you've heard this story, and you've yet to believe, you've yet to trust and say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I believe that he lived this perfect life, that he died in my place, and that he rose from the dead. You may have believed that at one time and maybe have walked away and said, like the disciples, that's nothing but foolish, idle tales. Could it be this morning that you're here for more than just taco salad? Could it be that God has brought you here to bring you into a redemption story and say, my son, my daughter, he's telling you the truth. I love you and I died in your place and I am alive. The tomb is empty. By the way, I want you to know that this was major controversy when this happened. If there's any way they could have found Jesus' body, I promise you they would have produced it. And it's never been found because he is not here. He's alive. Countless people saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. In fact, one I want to tell you about, and the reason I ask this question, what do you do with this Jesus, is a man by the name of Saul, who spent his very life saying, when he heard about this Jesus, I'm going to persecute this so-called church, these people of the way. I'm going to kill them and imprison them. I'm going to stop this message at all cost. And then he was intersected in the road with a resurrected Jesus Christ. And he gave the rest of his life fighting for the very thing he was hoping to stop. In fact, he gave his life for it. What I want to tell you about is Paul and Silas were preaching in Thessalonica in Acts 17. And I want to read this from the message this morning. And the same question that basically Paul was asking that day is what we must encounter ourselves with today. In Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 30, the message reads this way. The unknown is now known. He's speaking to people and he's telling them, listen, this Messiah that you're waiting for, this one that maybe even I persecuted and tried to push in a certain direction and tried to stop this movement that was happening, this unknown is now known. We have been told about the Messiah, but he has come. I want you to know what Paul had to give up to do this. By this point in Scripture, he has given his heart and his life and his calling, everything. He's given everything up to follow Jesus Christ. He's talking about the revealed Messiah. He says the unknown is now known. And he's calling for a radical life change. He has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. Can I tell you this morning, by the power of the grace and the blood and mercy of Jesus and the power of resurrection, everybody look at me. Everything you've lost, everything that's been taken from you, everything that you feel you have been wrong, listen to these words again, the hope that is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. We'll be back in Eden. All things will be made new. He said he's already appointed the judge. Listen to this. Confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. In other words, he's saying God has already appointed the man. He came, he lived, he died, and he confirmed it by this. He raised him from the dead. This is the one. And listen to what happened that day. And if I'm honest, this may be what happens here today. At the phrase, raising him from the dead, listen to this. The listeners of the crowd split. Listen to what happens. Some laughed at him and walked off making jokes. Others said, let's do this again. In other words, let's get together and talk about this some more. Let's talk. We want to hear more. But that was it for the day, and Paul left. And yet there were still others, it turned out, who were convinced then and there. And stuck with Paul. You see, you read the story, it's not much different than today. I want to tell you, I want you everybody to look at me this morning. If you go and tell some people today the reason you celebrate Easter is not about bunnies and it's not about chocolate, and you tell them, I celebrate today because of a resurrected Christ, there will be some that will laugh at that message and say, man, that's silly. There might be some that would tell you, I'd like to hear more about that. And then yet there will be others that the Word tells us that will say, I believe too, right? This morning I just got to ask the question that really on a day like today and really every day, the opportunity that God gives us to be alive and to have pulse, and with that is purpose. And part of your purpose today is to understand this great story of redemption you've been invited into. Not just to be an innocent bystander and just to watch things happen, but to be a son or daughter of the King of Kings. What do you do with this Jesus? See, he lived a perfect life that you couldn't live, that I couldn't live. He died in your place, and he was placed in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to need it. He arose from the dead. This is the gospel. This is the good news. But I want to tell you, this is so much more than you'll hear at a lot of places. You see, a lot of places will tell you this message, and a lot of people will tell you, if you'll just say this 25-cent prayer, everything will be fine. In fact, everything will be made right. I just want to kind of be the bearer of some maybe not so good news of the good news, is that if you give your heart and life to Jesus, that doesn't mean that everything will be made right now. But I'm going to take him at his word and say this, that it will be set right one day. In fact, it may make your life more difficult right now on this place as we're in a world at war. But I want you to know this, that there is life in these words. And it's not just talking about some ticket to heaven. This is talking about an abundant life right here and right now. I can't explain it to you if you don't understand, if you've never experienced this. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of it, I can't explain the freedom that Jesse was talking about that comes with that. I can't explain how alive you feel, even in the midst of turmoil, even when those things happen that just beat us down. We know that there's hope in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anybody want to testify that? Know that there's hope in that in the midst of the storm? So here's what I want to say this morning. I want to ask you a question one last time. Jesse and Jonathan are going to come. I want to ask you this question. What do you do with this Jesus? What do you do with this Jesus? What do you do with this story? If you're here this morning and you're maybe one of the ones that wants to laugh this off, if you're a skeptic, and say, man, that's too good to be true. You're selling me a bill of goods. I want to ask you to pray a bold prayer this morning. Maybe the first time you've ever done this. In fact, it may be tough for you because some of you may not have had a good earthly relationship with your Father. I want you to know the Father I have in heaven has never let me down. He's never abandoned me. He's never abused me. He's never done any of those things. I want to tell you, I want to testify that truth to you this morning. Here's what I want to ask you to do, a bold prayer. I'm not going to ask you to pray it out loud. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and dance and do a circle or walk down an aisle. I'm going to ask you to simply say one word. That's all I'm going to ask you to say. This morning, if you want to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to trust that He lived a life in your place, died a death in your place, and rose from the grave to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly here and hereafter, I want to challenge you to pray this prayer. I just want you to start with one word. I want you to say the word Father. Just to yourself, just in your heart, in your mind, I want you to say the word Father. I'm going to tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart. I'll stake my very life on it. That if you go to Him in the faith of Jesus Christ and the work that He did for you, if you call Father, He's going to call son or daughter. You don't believe me? Some of you are sitting there saying, no, not for me. I've done too much. You don't know what I've done. I just want to tell you, I believe that. Trust me. Call the name Father. Let's let it start there. Let Him do the rest. If you want to tell one of us about it, great, we'll pray with you. If not, you just keep it between you and Him till you're ready. Call the word Father. Listen, see if He doesn't call back son or daughter. In fact, I'm going to go on and tell you, if you hear anything else, it's not from Him. Maybe it's the voices you've let stay in your head for too long. Maybe it's the voice of a family member that's offered curse instead of blessing. Maybe it's the voices of those that said, you're no good, you're not worth anything. Listen, those are not from God. That's not from Him. That's not the way He operates. If He ever convicts, He convicts with a heart of love, pointing you into a better way. He's not disappointed at you. He's not mad at you. He's not hurt at you. He is simply waiting. For the sweetest words He'll hear today is for one of His people that are about to be His son or daughter to say the word, Father. Would you call out to Him this morning? Just say the word, Father. You want to talk with somebody, we'll be here. This song that these guys are about to do, when that happens, and you say, man, I've done too much. You don't know. I've done way, way too much. Listen to what this song is going to sing the gospel over you about what our sin is when we come to God through Jesus Christ. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing. You just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. Father, over any voice that's speaking today, whether it be our own little voice inside our head, whether it be the voices of others that said we're no good or we're not worth anything, whether it be the voice of the enemy trying to attack and steal this moment, I pray that Your voice would speak the loudest. Sometimes we pray for You to whisper, just whisper. God, I pray for You to scream today to hearts. I pray for You to say, son or daughter, to call out and say, if you're coming to Me in faith in Jesus Christ, that's it, that's enough. You don't have to do anything else. Just come to Me in Jesus. Just believe. Just have faith. Admit that you know you sin. Believe that Jesus was enough. And then just say, Father, we can have a glorious relationship with You. Just here on this earth, but then also an everlasting relationship when You make all things new, when You set things right. God, we love You. We thank You that when we do this, that our sin is removed, it's forgotten. The only one that continues to remember or continues to dwell in it is us. You have forgiven us. It's gone. That's grace and that's mercy. We need grace and we need mercy today. Would You speak, Father? Continue to speak to hearts. I'm going to ask You to do this before I say amen. This morning, if you just say, man, I need prayer today. Something's going on. I've said the word Father. I just want to know more. Any of those things, Father, I just pray that You would give boldness. Someone to just come and talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be me. Grab a friend. Grab somebody to say, hey, I need help walking through this. What does this mean? Tell me more. Father, we love You. We thank You for today. We thank You for what it represents. We thank You for what You've done with our sin on the cross. We thank You that it's gone. We love You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.